besides relationships and people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Every Woman Talk Show. I am your host, Uli Wells. We are back again. So let me just say that the topics that we're talking about lately are topics that I did a panel on, and some of the ladies, these are the things that they wanted to talk about. I have a guest coming on shortly, and so we'll pull him in as soon as he calls in. So the topic tonight is about learning how to love our black men. And I think it's a topic that most women think they already know, but we don't. If we did, our relationships would be much better. Our marriages would be much better. There would probably be more of us married and for longer periods of time. And I think it's always a learning process when we're talking about love, because things change and your everyday life, which changes your feelings, which means you need to learn how to adapt to things. And that's what the guest is going to, I guess, enlighten us on. He holds a little class about learning how to love our black man. I went online just to get some questions and some answers about what the majority of the men, our men, thought would be easier for us to deal with them, understanding them. And, you know, I think the majority of them said stop focusing on the negatives and focus more on the positive, stop living in our past and, you know, dwell on what's going to happen in our future. I think for women it's very difficult to move on from our past, because I don't think the men like to address the past so that we can move on with it. They just want to sweep it under the rug and keep it moving. I really hope that some of our men listeners and my male friends and our Facebook friends actually come in tonight, because you can't do a show about what a man thinks unless you have a man calling in. So it's very difficult to have a show talking about relationships when you definitely need to have both sides of the story. So until he calls in, we're just going to go over a couple of things. So it says, you know, try not to focus on the bad, focus on the now and the present, and show interest in the things that he likes. We're always so caught up on things that we like. Do we ever take the time to find out the things that they like? Do we ever question, how was your day? We want that to be said to us, but do we ever take the time out to do that for them? I think women, we feel, and I've heard this before, and I'm going to say this, and I just recently heard this, we feel if we feed them, if we F them, and we take care of home, that they should be happy. Well, I think it's a little bit more to relationships than just that, or making that man happy, or learning to make him happy. You need to know what's important to him. You also need to give him some space. Some him time, some time with his fellas or whatever. You know, I always say in relationships, you can spend quality time together, but then sometimes you need that quality time apart. You need that time where you start to, you know, replenish yourself, and he needs to do the same thing. And however he does that, you know, that's on him. As long as it's in our perimeter of what we understand our relationship is, then there should be no problems and the communication and what he does with his spare time. Get to know his friends. You get to know his friends, and someone gets to know who he is too. Not all the time, because sometimes we have friends who are very different than who we are, but as a majority, you can get to know more about him through who he is associating himself with. If it's a part of your relationship where you are friendly with his family, get to know his family. Getting to know his family also gets to know who he is, where he comes from. What also may be the underlying problem in your relationships may be from his past, from his, you know, his upbringing. So if you don't know these things, how can you fix these things? So let's see, what else? And it's like 100 different things, and I'm like, really, 100 different things that we should know. Do not, this is funny, do not withhold sex. What we think sex is not what a man thinks sex is. Sex is just sex to a man. For us, it's very emotional. We're very attached to it. It's something special. It's something wonderful and all that good stuff like that. But for men, when you withhold it from them, it's not that important to them like it is to us. It's very easy for them to be like, all right, well, fine. You know, you do you without do me over here. So doing that, I don't know what you think you're getting out of doing that, but that's something we shouldn't do. And I talked to so many different counselors who have said that withholding sex is not the answer to improving your relationship or improving whatever is wrong. Nor is it just, you know, if you're having issues, just, you know, having sex and not talking about you know, is that going to work either? Respectfully communicate with him. I think that's difficult when you're angry, but we need to learn how to, and I know I'm very guilty of it, we need to learn how to breathe first, think first, before we start expressing what's bothering us. And then on the other hand, men also need to open up their eyes, and open up their ears, and open up their mind, and listen to what we're saying. Because if we have to keep repeating ourselves over and over and over again, that healthy communication does not become healthy anymore. That the communication that you want us to be able to talk to you so respectfully does not become so respectfully anymore because you're not listening to the things that are bothering you, the things that we need to talk about, or you're not addressing it, or you're not changing the things we need to talk about. We as women always want compliments. We always want to know that he thinks we're pretty, he thinks we're sexy, he thinks we're smart, he thinks we're good mothers, he thinks we're a good wife. Well, do we compliment our men? Do we tell our men how, you know, how proud we are of them? Do we tell them that, you know, accomplish what you want to accomplish and I got your back? Do we do those things? I don't think on the regular we do, and I think on the majority I don't think we do. Not with black men and black women in particular. Let's see. What else? We also have an issue with wanting to be accepted for how, you know, when we get dressed, does he like what I'm wearing? You know, does he approve of what I'm wearing? Do you tell your men when they're dressing inappropriately or they're dressing like a child and they should be dressing more like a man or they're dressing more like, you know, overdressed and they need to just, you know, take it down a notch? Or do we communicate with those things too? Or is it always a one-sided street when it's always about you, and never letting him in? Now, you've been married for how long, Evan?
It will be a year, the end of next month.
Isn't that something? A year has gone by already. Do you feel like your communication is over? It's over. Do you feel like your communication, though, has gotten better?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I will give us credit for is that we're both communicators.
Okay.
So, I know when she's upset, I know she knows when I'm upset. We understand what presses whose buttons.
Okay.
And we try not to intentionally go there. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. But not with the intent. So, you know, we understand, okay, this is escalating and, you know, we need to diffuse the situation. You know, sometimes you have to know when to diffuse the situation. You know,
right.
Where, like, if I add on any more, even though I might be right, it's not going to be received well. And at the end of the day, does that help us out any? No.
Okay.
And I think that both of us look at it from the standpoint of going at the end of the day. Where does this leave us?
where you leave is, do you feel in your past relationship and even in your marriage that women are more prone to wanting those compliments and needing that attention, and we don't think that men need that as well, and we don't give it as much?
Well, I'll say this. Most people would say, now, I don't know where they would get this from, that I'm rather self-confident. So for me,
I don't know where are they. What?
I have I have no idea, understated as I am. But anyway, that I don't need positive reinforcement. So there's no reason to utter a kind word about, you know, how I look or my wardrobe or this or that or the third. Based upon
but not just,
I
don't mean just that. I mean just, I don't mean just our appearance. I mean just the fact that you got a brand new job and you know, you got a promotion, or just, things like that. Or how is your day? And, you know, things of that age. Not so much in our appearance because, I mean, that's overrated. I could really care, because we already know you love me for who I am. So those compliments are great and wonderful. I love to hear them. But that's not what makes us concrete. Not telling me I'm sexy, not telling me
right.
I'm sexy. That doesn't make us concrete. But when you are concerned about my everyday, what's going on in my life and what's going on in my day and what's going on, you know, how the kids, how the, you're married, or, you know, before you got
but
married, you were dating. So those things are things like.
A lot of those questions, okay, like for an example, I come home, you ask me how was my day. You really don't want to know. This is just a matter of habit then for you to say, how was my day?
Do you really think that she doesn't want to know?
Not really. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about in general.
In general. We're not trying to get personal.
I understand that, but you understand that. All I need to say, tell your husband just say you don't care about him.
Exactly.
So let me make this perfectly clear, ladies and gentlemen in radio land. I'm using
the general
generalization as a generalization. That
not referring to me. I am listening.
See?
We love you, Carol. We love you. I'm glad she's listening because, like I said, you can't get a whole conversation about relationships unless you hear it from both perspectives, a man's perspective and a woman's perspective. So you can't learn to love a man unless we're listening in and we can listen to what you're saying and also get feedback on what we think, too. So you need both. So I'm glad Tara's listening in. But I don't know whether or not they ask that and they're not concerned, Daryl. I mean, I think when I ask, you know, what's going on at the job today, well, I really am concerned. I really do want to know. Or I'm not even going to ask. And that's anybody knows me,
well,
I don't sugarcoat anything. I'm not going to ask. And I really don't want to know.
No, that's
not gonna ask.
Oh, yeah. Well, please. Everybody also knows. Anybody knows you, ooh, ain't nothing being sugarcoated for a damn thing. But that's another thing altogether.
But
a lot, like I said, that's what I'm saying, generalization. Now, there are exemptions to every rule. The reason why you ask, how am I doing, is for me to turn around and ask the same question. And then here comes the barrage. Oh, my Lord. Everything that could have went wrong in your day is going to be just shot at. It's going to come right at us over and over and over and over and over and over again. So it just keeps going on and it comes on in a repetitive state. It's like, oh, Jesus, what did I open up the door to? Oh, my God. Can I just have a beer and watch SportsCenter, perhaps a hot meal, and then I can deal with all this? You know, that's where most guys, like, go to the local bar, you know, before they come home, because you don't want to deal with a whole bunch of issues when you come home. How was my day? I don't want to bring that place home with us. You know, I mean, I really, really, really don't feel like, you know, bringing this home. You know what I mean? Holy.
Hello?
Yeah, you right here.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I got thrown out of the queue or thrown out of the show. Yeah, I get that. So my thing is, I think when we do the shows, we're trying to educate people on how to communicate better, and people and me and everybody else who's listening, to learn how to communicate better in our relationships, because in the long run, you know, black love is a beautiful thing, and I always want to see that last forever. And the way it doesn't last is because of lack of communication, lack of understanding, and you know, and that is probably the biggest pressure in relationships. Outside of finances in relationships, the biggest problem in relationships is non-communication and non-understanding where that person is coming from, where they have been, and where they're looking to go to as well. And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't stay on the same ladder. We don't stay on that same path. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes you may be moving a little faster than me. I may be moving a little faster than you, and you may not want to catch up to that person. So when that happens, that communication has to come in too and say, you know, we're not going anywhere with this. We, you know, we're really not. So we need to either fix it or let it go. Fix it or let it go. And I think a lot of relationships, they don't talk about it because they don't want to address it. They don't want to deal with it.
Right.
They don't want to know what the outcome is going to be. And it's very important that you do this communication. You do these. And I say, for me, don't have a problem with going to couple therapy. I think it's a good thing because you have a middle person who is not biased, who does not know you, does not know her, and does not know anything other than what you're talking about. And they can maybe be the middle person to help you get that problem of try to be more communicative to each other. I don't know. I think couple therapy, a therapy in itself, is a good thing. I'm just waiting for my guest to call in because he is more, I guess, he's more equipped to explain these things to us because he gives a class on relationships and, you know, why I wanted to do this particular show because I met him recently and very intelligent brother. And then I had told Nath about him too. You need to have him on the Manifest show because this man is just so well-rounded that, you know, he's somebody that you would want on your show too for some other topics, not so much as this one, but other topics as well.
Yes.
So Dennis should be calling in very soon. Yes.
Okay. We have another caller online. So what I want to do is I want you to, we're going to do a little stuff behind the scenes. So why don't we just go into this first music segment, and then when we come off the first music segment, we'll perhaps that guest will come on, and we can take it on from there. So why don't we just, you know, let's start this music segment off, and then we'll be back. So you kick it away.
Sounds great. All right. We'll be back shortly. Let me see what we have behind the scenes. Hello.
Sharing this one and only life, ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years, and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks us to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man. Self-preservation is what's really going on.
Live. We are back live, the Every Woman Talk Show, every Tuesday night. The number to call in is 646-478-4507. When you call in and you want to speak, you just press 1. If you just like to listen in, just listen in. We're on Block Talk Radio as well. We have our guest on hold, Mr. Dennis Porter, and he's going to come in and just talk to us a little bit.
Well, hello. How is everyone?
Hello. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. I want to pop the location that I'm in.
Hello. Okay, so we might have some problems with Dennis. Seems like we're having some problems with Dennis. We're calling in. I guess the location is not a good location. So now, in the meantime, let's bring Nigel and Black in, and when Dennis calls in, we'll bring him. We'll get him back on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you there, Dennis? Okay, Daryl. I don't know what's going on.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I was just apologizing because where I am, I thought there might be some transmission problems from time to time. So I will call back if that happens.
Okay. Not a problem. Not a problem.
Okay.
Once again, this is our guest, Dennis Porter, and he's just going to give some information to us about relationships and loving our Black men and things like that. And so, Dennis, whenever you're ready to talk.
Sure. Thank you very much, first of all, for Jill, for inviting me on the show. You and I had a very brief conversation, but very explosive conversation about relationships between Black men and women. And it was a very, I think, a very powerful, very enlightening conversation. I think it is true, of course, that you learn best from just listening and learning from the people who are actually experiencing a thing. And that kind of helps you not only with your own experiences, but your own experiences as well. You kind of can measure them up to it. So let me tell you a little bit first about our organization.
Yes.
Prodigal Sons and Daughters was actually founded in the New Jersey prison system in 1989 by a group of prisoners. This group of Black males and recognized that they've made several mistakes in their lives. And one of those mistakes had not only been taking on a criminal lifestyle or taking on a choice in life that they could have made better choices, but even in their relationship choices, they had made very poor choices, and their decisions were now affecting the people close to them.
Right.
As a result of that, they took an oath behind the wall that they would seek in every way they could to redeem themselves. And a lot of times, believe it or not, a person will think that they are ready to confess their sins to everybody but their ex or their baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to those individuals, a lot of times we would reach a sort of a roadblock where we would say, well, what's the problem here? And they realize, or we all realize, that we sometimes have not resolved the mistakes that we made in our relationships.
Right.
And one of
another relationship.
Right. And one of those mistakes, of course, being communication. Our only being able to communicate in the sense that we have come up in the environment and learned how to communicate. So it's very limited. And one thing that being in the system does is anything that you really want to explore, you now have the time, you now have the focus to actually learn about those things and to reflect on your own life. As a result of that, when I came out of the system in 1995, I began to lecture. And to my surprise, whenever I confronted Black women, whether they were professional women or otherwise, I found them being attracted to what I was saying because I was being very honest, very blunt, very open about the way we think as men, the way we are taught to think, the image that we have to uphold in society. So as a result of that, I ended up lecturing consistently on those subjects, and it caught on.
Mm-hmm. So your lecturing is more for women or for both men and women?
Well, it's for both. Sometimes those audiences are mixed with male and female. Sometimes those audiences are just males. Sometimes they're just females. And the reasons for that are quite obvious from, you know, some of the conversation I heard earlier. Sometimes I just want a group. Sometimes I want a group where women are telling me what we need to understand. I think I was telling you that we did a document as a sort of a experiment many years ago called 60 Questions Men Need Answers to from Women.
Mm-hmm.
And this questionnaire we designed because we realized a lot of times when men talked about women, their perceptions of women were just solely based on their anger, their situations and circumstances with their personal experiences, and therefore they judged or they based their opinions on that. Right. And then on the flip side, we saw the same thing with women.
Uh-huh.
That oftentimes they had these preconceived pictures by society of what success was, what a good man looked like, what he kind of car he drove, how much money he made, what kind of house he lived in. All these kind of things were really confusing, especially in the history, in the light of African-American people in this country,
right.
whose family structure has been dismantled for a long time, and a proper definition of what a man is supposed to do has been deliberately, redefined and misplaced. So you're dealing with a male population who have to try to figure out what a black man is supposed to be. You're dealing with a society that deliberately for many years sought to purposely put the black woman in a position of economic power and
over a man. Mm-hmm.
Over a man. So then you have a misconception and misconception of the professional woman. You have the misconception of the professional woman of herself. You have the misconception of the professional woman about the brother who's not a professional, you see. And then you have all of these things going around, and you have black people in America who are pretty much displaced people trying to figure out how to make sense out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains why we have such a high proportion of separation, single parent families, and there is no really getting around for us looking at the past as much as we would like to advance past that and hope that, you know, we can kind of take the lesson of the past and move forward.
So in essence, what we really have to understand is with our trying to understand our black man is trying to love our black man is first we got to understand. We have to understand what he's thinking he is, what he has, or who he thinks he is in this world first in order to be able to love him for who he is. Because if he thinks he has no self-worth, then how do you love that person, though? If he thinks you are making more than him and you know, he's less of a man than he is because you're making more, these are things you need to know to be able to address how to deal with the relationship. Because if you don't know he's feeling like that, if you've never had these conversations and he's holding it in but acting out in different ways, then how do you fix that?
This is a suggestion. I think it's very important that when two people meet, they really sit down and ask those questions from the door.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, those should be the key questions that you want to know.
We go right into meeting somebody, hanging out with somebody, dating somebody, and then sex with somebody, and now we're in love, and now we're in a relationship, and we don't even know each other.
And when we find out about each other, oh man, that's a whole nother thing. You're sleeping with a stranger because you don't really really don't know anything about this person.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. You don't know anything about them, and you can be with someone for quite some time and still not know who they are because you've never really sat down to communicate who that person really is or where they've come from or what they even want for their future.
But even further, that person may not have taken a serious look themselves
and
at who
out
they
that.
Are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what exactly are, where do they want to go. I oftentimes
right. So they can't even communicate it to you because they don't know themselves.
They don't know themselves, and a lot of people are living a lie. They make up their lies.
Say that again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they make it up. So they do it because they have been somehow made to believe that telling the truth.
Maybe just false lie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, telling the truth is not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Telling the truth is not going to make you curious about exploring a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes I use this scenario when I'm talking to ladies about how they should perceive going into a relationship. First of all, if you sit down and you ask yourself honestly, and if you can do it without thinking about what society wants from you or what anybody else wants from you and just what you want from yourself, then you put that down, and that's your target. That's who you are. That's what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that in front of you, and you look at that as like a destination. Like your destination is California, and you're driving from New Jersey straight across country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, along the way, there are people, there are men who got their thumbs out. They're trying to hitchhike. So you pull over, you see something that looks nice, you go, wow. I mean, let's face it, appearance is what catches us first.
Exactly.
Right? So you look over and you see this guy, and you pull over and you say, you roll your window down and you say, how you doing? Where you headed? And the guy says, well, wherever you going, baby. Okay, you need to drive off.
Exactly.
Right?
You definitely he doesn't have a destination.
No, his destination is you.
Right.
His destination is, I'm going to live off you. That's my destination.
Okay.
Okay, now, if he says, well, I'm going to Nevada. Now, you know this is along the way, but this is time for you to think. Is it in my best interest? What have I to gain by him riding with me? He's going to share the gas. He looks like an interesting guy. I could use some company. There's always give and take immediately. You got to understand when you're going into the relationship. Automatically, you got to be thinking, what am I going to have to put out for what, and what am I going to get back?
And what are you going to be returning? Mm-hmm.
But these things need to be discussed from the door. So,
right.
So you decide, okay, to let this person ride with you. Immediately, what starts happening as a person gets comfortable riding with you is they may not like the music you're listening to. They may want to turn and mess with your radio. You have to say, wait a minute now, hold on now. I like what I'm listening to. Because this says a lot about whether the person accepts you for you. Right. First, they need to demonstrate that they accept who you are. Because there's always time if they demonstrate that they accept who you are, you become open to accepting who they are.
Right.
At some point, you're going to want to know, well, what are you like listening to? Because he's sitting there. He's not interfering with what you like. So, you know, the law of reciprocity takes place.
Right.
If give and take takes place.
Right.
So he says, I like jazz. So you said, well, okay, I'm not no big jazz person, but because I have a positive vibe from you, I'm open to jazz.
Exactly.
Okay, now as long as this is going on, it's good. But when this person starts suggesting that, hey, listen, along the way, I want to stop off in Oklahoma. I just want to stop through there for a minute. Now, you got to determine at this point whether or not the plans that you had, the calculation of how long it would take, is all going to be affected if for this person you make this detour from your original plan. And this is how it works. This is how it's not an easy thing for relationships to work. But it just really depends on, as you are together, what kind of things that you both say you are going to do. And are we living up to that? You pull into a gas station, you pull into a gas station and the guy don't offer to pay for no gas. This is a red flag.
Right, right.
That's one thing if he said to you when he got in the car, now, ma'am, listen, I don't have any money. You know, I'm out here struggling and I'm trying to make it happen.
Okay, but when that's said, do you move on from there or do you say, well, you know what, I see something else in this person? We're talking about relationships. That has happened. That has happened where you say, okay, he's been upfront, he's been honest.
Right.
Do I walk away from this right now because I know it's going to be more than I want to bite, than I want to chew? You have to still make choices in that case too, whether they're honest or not.
That's right. And this is very important for women. It's very important for women that they stay in power because a lot of times women give up their power too soon. I don't know where it's written that somehow when a woman agrees to be a man's woman, it means that suddenly he has the authority over her now of being her boss, her daddy, to discipline her certain physical ways sometimes. I don't know how that happens because when that happens, the man starts losing respect for you. See, it's always that which man can't totally possess that he will always respect.
Right.
When he totally possesses you, there is nothing
new
here to explore.
There's no more challenge for him, so there's nothing else for him to explore. But then he loses the respect. Before you finish, I want to bring in some other people we have on the line, so if they have some questions for you, or maybe we can just have a dialogue together because this is serious. You know, it's just a serious conversation. So, Daryl, can you bring in the other guests too? Is Daryl there? Daryl. Dennis, keep talking, and I'll see if I can get Daryl to bring in the other guests.
Okay. But this is pretty much a lot of, I mean, for us to go back in history a lot of times, it's good for us, of course. We need to clearly understand who we are, where we came from, and we really need to know the effect that had on us. Because a lot of times, if you're trying to cure a person, a doctor wants to ask you your history. Your history tells him where your ailments originated.
Right. We're going to bring somebody in, Dennis. We're going to bring, we have a guest, a black girl on the line.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. So did you have any questions or did you just wanted to finish listening and saying, or did you have some comments on some of the things he had said?
First of all, hi, everybody. It's been a long time since I've been on the air. This is Mufon Black, part of Shadow World Radio, Shadow World Entertainment. And, you know, it's first of all, congratulations, Jewel,
Thank you.
On maintaining the show, keeping it up. It's been a long time since I've been on the show, but keeping some love to everybody. And just to express, you know, that the topic in itself is definitely a touchy situation as far as how women perceive men and what they need to do to support them or to have their backs. And I'm listening to Mr. Porter, and I definitely agree with a lot of the comments and what you made and brought forth. You know, I just think that it is a matter of how we go about having our other halves or our spouses or significant others, you know, we do act on the things that we normally aren't given or possibly maybe we have no knowledge of because of the fact that, you know, like you said, you know, there are instances where, you know, if it was never taught to you or if you weren't aware of certain things in the beginning, you have a tendency to just go blind and you just run with emotions. You really don't know people. And, you know, it does take time. It does take a joint effort. We as men have a tendency to have this stern belief that we just feel that we're in control all the time. And we really don't understand, you know, when something is thrown at us, we automatically fight instead of communicate. And I think that the number one problem that we do have and why we can't go through life most of the time thinking that we are being supported by our women is because of the fact that we rather fight the issue then find out what is the issue.
Then deal with the issue.
And a lot of times the issues normally are, you know, you're holding on to grudges, you're holding on to past things, you don't like to move forward. You know, a lot of times you don't think that your woman is supportive of you, the individual, but they probably are. It's just the fact that you have not opened up and expressed to them, you know, where you are, mind, body, and soul. And collectively it is a sense of being one and having that bond. And I think that a lot of times we just don't get that. And it's not really so much, I guess I'll speak for myself compared to anyone else. You know, sometimes we just need that support system that doesn't always have to be relegated by using just a four-letter word or doing something that they, you know, I don't always need dinner and a movie. Sometimes
right.
I just need you, you know.
Right.
I don't think that a lot of times, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's bring Najla in as well. So Najla is one of the guests, too, and I want to make sure that everybody gets a little bit to say tonight. You know, every time we have these topics, it's our time cuts so fast because the topics are so powerful, we never get a chance to get, you know, a fully rounded conversation about it. But let me bring Najla in, too, because she's been a whole for quite some time. I don't want her to think we forgot about her. Don't go anywhere. Najla, come on in. Daryl, can you bring Najla in?
Hello.
Hey, okay. So I know you've been listening to Dennis, to myself, to Black. What comments do you have to say as another Black woman in reference to the relationship issues we have?
Well, you know, hi to everyone first and foremost. I have another outlook or a question maybe directed toward Dennis. Maybe he can give a little bit more enlightenment on this particular area of it. I think a lot of times, just like you said about when you're on your road and you're traveling in a different going a particular direction, and then you have someone that's standing out on a road with his thumb out, and you pick him up, and you kind of like either you have the option to take him with you or ride by him. It's the same as in relationships. Why would you go to a dentist if you have a problem with your heart? A lot of times that's what we do as women. You know, we venture into areas that we really don't have a need or a real desire for. We just do it out of sometimes even a nurturing point of view or a standpoint of it all. And we don't have to. I think we don't have the option to look at, or that option has been taken from us a lot of times, parenting. Looking at our parents and seeing what type of parents we had that raised us, and then using that example in our relationships, having that as an example in our relationship. So my question to you, Dennis, would be in response to not having that parental guidance, co-parenting, and you have a lot of women out here that haven't had that. So how do they know how to, first of
what
all,
to look for?
A Black man, if they've never been in a situation where they really had to learn how to love a Black man?
Right. First of all, the question is an excellent one, and there's a whole lot tied to it from what I've learned. But here's one of the first things that I tell women when we are dealing with them, is a lot of times people are carrying guilt. They're blaming themselves for things that they shouldn't be blaming themselves for. Sometimes it's tied to the fact that they didn't have a father around. Sometimes they didn't even have the love of a mother. And they had to learn. They're learning as they go along. So they tie on to a boyfriend, and it's in our basic nature to be accepted, to be received, to be loved. And we got to find that somewhere, whether it's in a gang or it's in a bad relationship, we got to find it. It's just in our basic nature. So what we tell them a lot of times is don't start from where the pain started. That's a bad place to start from, because you're not going to fix all of that right now. What you've got to focus on now is bringing yourself up to today. And the way that you bring yourself up to now is you have to seek out from those people who are trusted mentors. And those mentors could be professionals. It could be from someone who has written extensively on relationships. But you've got to get connected with people who have a track record of being successful in these sort of issues that are particularly in the area of what Black women are going through. You have to find somebody who is empathetic. This person has to be someone that actually knows. Now, it does not mean that everything that they went through, you're going through exactly, or vice versa. But it's always wise to connect with someone who identifies directly with your experience. Right.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to, you know, your girlfriend who wants to act in your best interest because she loves you.
And
sometimes
she
don't give you the best. And sometimes she don't give you the best advice. Sometimes she's not even. Sometimes she's just purely acting for selfish reasons.
She's not capable of giving you, and she sometimes they're not capable of giving you the right advice. You know, and
right.
It's so funny. We always laugh at that, and we laugh at it all the time. How is your girlfriend who don't have a man giving you advice about your man, and he don't have a man, and you listening to her?
Right,
and you're listening
right.
to her. So I think, Nazar, what your question is. That you never had that upbringing, let's say a two-parent home where, you know, your mother and a father would stay together. A lot of us have not seen that. Even the ones that have seen it still have a difficulty maintaining relationships for whatever reasons it is. But my thing is, like I always said, therapy. And I don't know, I don't mean a therapist. I just mean a book that you may read or, you know, go to counseling or get to know the person before you get into a relationship with that person. We do not do that. And then when we get into a relationship, we think it's supposed to work the way we want it to work because that's what we want. But how can it work the way you want it to work if you two are not on the same page? If she doesn't want the same thing you want and you don't want the same thing he wants, how can it work? How can you come together as one when you're going in two different directions? And you would have known you were going in two different directions had you had these conversations earlier on in a relationship. It's so funny. People always talking about, I need to know his HIV status. You need to know more than his HIV status. You need to know everything about this man before you think you're going to be committed to this person. Because that's going
to
make your relationship
status.
Work. And you need to know yours. You need to know what your issues are, too. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And you need to share that.
And that's a lifetime process, and you've got to find. And one thing that you can definitely do, and it's something that our very nature gives us, and that is going back to painting the picture of yourself that you want. Now, painting the picture of yourself is not so much the exterior as it is the interior. Painting that picture of your interior, painting the picture of the person who is not vulnerable, not naive, not instantaneous, you know, not whatever, even promiscuous, if that's what you've gotten into. But painting that picture, even if you aren't that picture right now, having that picture as a contrast, that clean glass of water next to the dirty one, because just because you have it there to focus on, even if you keep making the same mistakes every day, if you can look at that picture, then you still will eventually be brought to the reality that life is going to bring you back to that picture. And
so
we don't all mature. Right. We don't all mature at the same rate of speed. Now, once you begin to see that picture in your mind, the players begin to make sense. You begin to better perceive the people that come into your life that contribute to that picture versus the people that come into your life and they take away from that picture. And that experience, as you're going along, like we say, you're not going to get it perfect at first, but that's not the object to be perfect at first. The object is little mistakes give birth to big improvements.
And
the only way you can improve is if you got the picture of improvement in front of you. So it's not like when
something
you used to
strive
mess up.
Something to strive for.
Right. It's
if
not
you
when
don't
you
have
used
a goal,
to mess up.
right? If you don't have a goal to strive for, then you're just running in circles. You're not trying to achieve any one thing. You're just running around in circles. So if you have a goal
right.
that you're trying to receive to achieve, then you have something to work toward. You have something to work for.
And let me just add this. Get into the circle. Find the circle of people who are trying to get out of this rut of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Find them wherever they are, whatever religions, whatever nationalities, any places you can go and get
mm-hmm.
something positive. If it's 80% positive, take that and leave the 20.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Darryl, how much more time do we have on the show? Okay. We'll continue to talk. He'll probably break in and let me know. So I guess what we're saying is what? What do we need to do to what advice are we trying to give to make relationships a stronger bond or a new relationship or old relationships?
Well,
communication, is the main thing.
Well, first of all, information is the first thing. Information is the power. You can't make any real serious decisions. That map we were talking about, going to California, you can't even think about going to California if you don't know where it's at.
Exactly.
Right? So the first thing you have to do is information. And information begins with yourself. Information means accepting and exploring the positives and negatives, the pros and cons. And if you do that with no one but yourself, do it with yourself. And then you have to confirm whether or not the opinions you have of yourself are even justified, because sometimes you can be your worst enemy. So that's why you need to find mentors.
Right. Dennis, we're going to put you on hold for 1 second. We need to go to commercial break, not go anywhere. People don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Commercial break. Got to make that money.
Yep.
flies in the bread and the flowers surrounded by the trees. This place is filled with love and happiness. So in the world, cause I wanna need something. I went in my pocket, took my wallet on out with my pictures of my family and girls. This is the place that it used to be with me. When you thought you could be in another world.
Another guest in, Mecca, and Nodville, you still on the line? Okay, Nodville must not be on the line anymore. We're going to bring Mecca in. Daryl, are we set up to go in? Daryl.
We are set. We are set.
Is Nodville still on?
Yep, she's on.
She said Mecca, I'm here.
Okay, Mecca, let's you know, get some information from you real quick. And then we'll close out with Dennis and Nodville. And this is Mecca. Mecca called in yesterday. She was our guest last week, and I'm glad she got a chance to call back in tonight. Completely different topic, of course.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about it?
Well, quite honestly, there were already some very interesting points raised that I just simply wanted to touch on. Dennis was speaking of, and one thing that he mentioned was about a map, and I was writing notes as he was going along, and prior to him coming to this point, the very interesting point about the map, the concern for the map with two people involved, is on any journey, the key component is a clear view of a map. The destination has to be clear as well. When he mentioned the, you know, they're going to California or wherever it was exactly that they were going, but the gentleman then stated that he wanted to stop over in Oklahoma, that raises flags for me, because if we were communicating effectively, that should have been something that should have been discussed beforehand. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Not an impromptu thing, because the journey's already difficult enough as it is. So something impromptu is going to raise a problem for me. Another thing that he also mentioned that I if I heard him correctly, I a little bit disagree with. Well, on a personal level, I don't necessarily abdicate my power to a man. What I do like to do is contribute to his self-worth. And there are times, many times, in fact, that our black men, with the history of them, however far back you want to go, up until present time, they need, like Black mentioned, the support. You know, so it's not about abdicating my power. It is about sharing my power with him, letting him know that he too has power and that I will support and follow if I need to. If
but that,
if we're
but,
See, the problem with the thing with that, Mecca, is you're absolutely 100% right, but we've gotten that from our religious background. We understand that. We get that. But there are some women who think they do have to allow them to control or be. When we say the head of household, we don't mean that you control every when I piss and when I do this and when I, and you can't tell me what to wear. That's what we. I think Dennis was trying to say is we give up all power for, and we're talking about not some, but a lot of women
right.
give up their power, their mm-hmm. ability to be their own person to benefit him or to fit into his world.
But see, the problem like that in and of itself is a whole separate problem because
mm-hmm.
that comes down to a lack of knowledge of self. That is totally absent. Knowledge of self,
or lack of self-esteem for yourself as well.
Right, but that still is just going to go completely back to lack of a knowledge of self. You know, there's no self-awareness. They don't recognize what their abilities, their attributes are. All they see is shortcoming and not knowing how sometimes your shortcomings benefit you because it enables you, if you are looking at it in the right view, it enables you to power forward.
Okay.
And I'm only talking, I'm only speaking on a personal level.
Well,
I know exactly where I came
from. Nigel, are you still there? I just have to ask this question. Do you believe, because Dennis made a statement that, and I believe the statement, that when you give up your power, when you've given up all of your rights, your power, do you believe that he has lost all respect? He can lose all respect for you as well? Because now what does he have to now share with you? If he's doing it, if he is the all power, if he is the all say, then what is he sharing with you?
I do agree with that.
Uh-huh.
I do agree with that.
At least
95% of me agrees with that.
I'm not sure that Mecca, I'm not sure if she heard me right when, mm-hmm. if it had anything to do with a woman giving up all of her power or relinquishing or denying the man the use of his power. I'm not sure. No, we weren't saying that. I think she should support the black man. I think the things that he has experienced in his life are unique, you know. And for that reason, I think because of the history of what black men, what has been deliberately perpetrated against them, there is every reason that if he has some of that knowledge of himself, then he's well able to understand likewise the knowledge of his woman. He'll understand
right.
that he'll understand the knowledge of his woman is that she's there to help him. And that's
right.
written scripturally and otherwise, that she's
right.
there to help him. But if a brother doesn't have that, like she's saying, if he doesn't have that, then you're dealing with an individual here who, when we talked about mentors early, this is an individual who needs to have some male that he respects for his wisdom. And as it goes with males running the family, a man didn't run a family because he was physically stronger or he could enforce his will on everybody. He was given that position because of the wisdom and the determination, the process that wisdom gave him of how he went forth into the world to achieve and to acquire what his family needed. And mm-hmm. that was the thing that made his family respect him, that when
right.
he got home, he was excellent at knowing how to assimilate what they were experiencing, how to advise them, and how to step up and demonstrate humility better than anybody else.
Well, I think that's what
love.
Our problem is now. Our problem now is because we have been, women have been put in a position where we are now our providers for our home, that
sure,
we have lost
absolutely.
Respect for our black men now, because now you're not bringing what are these things? You bring the bacon and I fry it, you bring the bacon home and
right.
I, that doesn't apply anymore. So now, unfortunately, a lot of women don't look at our black men as the providers anymore because we can provide for ourselves now. And I can't stand to hear a woman say, I don't need no man. Yes, the hell you do. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's a lot
we
more
created,
reasons that you need them
We are
for.
Create, exactly. We are created to be together. We're not created to be in single home. We're not created like that. We were not created like that. We cannot reproduce. We can do it because we do it. We're not supposed to. But we're not created to be you over there and be over here. And I don't need you now. Yes, we do. We need each other for multiple different reasons. Not just for him to bring the bacon and for you to fry it, or for you to bring the bacon and for him to fry it. It's not. It's such a bigger picture. But we are so small minded in some aspects that we don't see the bigger picture.
I think too that as time evolves and circumstances evolve, what make relationships work is that couples have to revolve in how they deal with today's demands on them. You know, if a man can't find a job, but everything else he does, when that woman gets home, if that woman gets home and this man knows how to cook and he done cleaned that house, then this woman has always believed in that man, you see?
Right.
But what happens now is, even though she believes in him, it doesn't matter to her how he demonstrates his determination to succeed. I mean, if he's coming in the house every day and he's bringing job applications and he's telling her where he's went today to try to get some training or some work or something like that, that woman loves him just as much. It's when she sees him giving up. It's when she sees him losing hope. It's when he starts talking negative and only thinking of himself, you know, and, hey, baby, I think I might have to go back out here to the streets. That's when she's like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, now,
right.
Wait a minute. Now, as long as that brother is trying.
We would hope that that's the way it goes, but it doesn't always happen that way either, because we have some women who have now become high and mighty that said, oh, now you've always been a provider and now you're not the provider anymore, and so she loses respect for him now because she doesn't care that he's out there looking for a job anymore. She doesn't care how serious he is about looking for a job. She doesn't care that he came home and he cooked the food. She doesn't care about that because now she's become high and mighty.
But see, that goes back to the initial interview. That goes back to when the two of them are sitting down the first time. And if this man is explaining to this woman what it is he believes in, what he is dedicated himself to accomplishing, what he thinks it's going to take to accomplish that, and if he puts all his cards on the table, let's just conclude this. But if that woman turns her back on him, she did him a favor, because what he learned was that this woman here, knowing what he told her, and at the end of the day, you're supposed to expect some struggle. I don't care how well you plan it together. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something that is not going to go entirely like y'all want it. Now, it's one thing if a guy is BSing. You know, if you're BSing, that's one thing. But if you look and you see this is the same man I hooked up with, he's still trying, I believe in this man, then you're just telling him you don't believe in him.
Right.
And so that man needs to move on to somebody else.
But it still sounds like there needed to have been some very, very effective communication at the interim.
Right.
And I say this because as much as he can sit down and say, you know, this is his plan, this is what I'm doing, this is that, whatever, that is him talking. That's not communication. That's not dialogue. That's his belief and his belief.
Well, definitely they're both. But wait a minute now. But definitely when they both sit down there, it's not a one-sided interview. He's not trying to get a job with her. They're talking about living their lives together. So both of those people should have had in that conversation an expression of who they are, what they're about, what they like, what they don't like, what they believe in.
I'm not talking about your initial sit down. I'm talking about you are now in a relationship with that person, and now circumstances have changed.
But that doesn't justify it. And the reason why
it doesn't.
I
never said it justified it. What I was saying to you was the unfortunate thing is we don't look at the bigger picture sometimes. We start trying to be very close about it and become kind of older than now. And be, you know, now that you're in the position now to be the breadwinner in the house, we become different people. And we become different people because we were probably that person to begin with, but just
didn't know
it.
That's who
you
were.
That person didn't know it.
That's who you were.
Exactly. And he didn't know that then. And he wasn't prepared for that either, you know.
But
so
this is not a bad thing, though. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think if people discover that they have traveled a certain amount of distance together, and they were successful at getting to that distance. I think this is a thing that we think, too. We think that even though a relationship may be good for 10 years, that it necessarily is going to be good 10 years from now. If that person changes, then it is a hard thing. But as soon as you recognize that that has occurred, then you have a certain amount of time to assess what is happening here, because you still cannot lose yourself. If you
right.
lose yourself in that relationship, or this person suddenly says, you know what, 10 years ago I wanted to go with you to California. Now that we're out here, I don't really like California. There's nothing you can do about the fact that they don't like California.
I'm so glad you said that, because I say all the time, I am never mad when a relationship doesn't work, because sometimes it just doesn't work. However, I am mad if you can't tell me it's not working, and you keep pretending.
That's right.
That we keep getting into this, we keep hitting this wall, because you already know you want out. Just take it out. Just go. I do not have a problem with the end of something, because sometimes things have to come to an end. However, I do have a problem, and I mean friendships with my girlfriends, relationships, my family members. I don't care what it is, my job, I don't care what it is. If it's not working anymore, it is time to now move on and let that person move on, find whatever's going to make them happy, whether it's a new job, whether it's a new man, whether it's a new woman, whether it's a new best friend, whatever the case may be. People fall out of love. People fall out of friendship. People get tired of their jobs. It's staying in that, being stagnant in that, is what I have an issue with.
Well, sometimes it just simply boils down to growth.
Right.
And people can grow apart.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Hello?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay, yeah, it just seems like you guys are going in and out. Yeah, I guess what I really want to do, what I really want to, I guess, let our listeners know, is just like Dennis said, it's a matter of information, communication, and staying on that path of giving the information and communicating. And when you stop doing those things, that's when the bigger problems are created, because, and I say this all the time, women are very emotional people. So when that man says, stop bringing up the past, did you deal with that problem from that past? Because if you didn't, guess what's going to happen? It's going to continue to creep up. So you have to first deal with it, get rid of it, eliminate it, and move on. You can't move on to something you have never addressed and fixed. You can't. It's impossible to do that. If you have not fixed it and resolved it and gotten rid of it and did whatever you need to do, you can't sweep something underneath the rug, because guess what's going to happen? Every time you move that rug, the dirt is coming back out. Every time that rug is shifted somewhere else, the dirt is going to come back out. So, yes, we do bring up the past quite often, because you didn't address it when it happened, and we haven't addressed it since then. So that's a lot of communication and information. We have to learn how to do those things. We have to learn how to, whatever happened in our past, whether it's a past relationship with someone else, learn how to deal with it, fix it, move on. Don't bring it into your new world, but don't bring baggage into the new relationship. You're bringing baggage because you never emptied the bag before you came into the relationship. So if you have never emptied the bag, you will never be able to move on to a cleaner house if you keep bringing every piece of dirt from your old house into your new house.
Yeah, I think, too, to your point, is also the reasonable expectations.
Okay.
Reasonable expectations.
Well, and we had the show before last year. Women, we expect what we want, not what he can give us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want, we have to find that man. And I'm not talking about materialistic things. I'm talking about if we need that man who's going to get up and make us breakfast every morning, then you can't have a man who's not going to get up and make you breakfast every morning. It just ain't going to happen. He's not that man. If we need a man who's going to say to you every day, you are beautiful, and what you need me to do today, then that's the damn man you need to find. Because if the man you have is not that man, guess what? He's never going to be that man. So we always look at things as what we want, but we never seek out the things we really want. We think that person's going to change and be that person. They're not going to change. That's not who they are. You're not going to change. It's not who you are. So we always want something, but do we always look for what we really want? Or do we just settle for whatever's in front of us? Not a bunch of us settle for what's in front of us. We're not looking and not getting what we want.
And it's an unfortunate thing, but that's just the way life is, you know. And like I said, at the closing for me, you know, Dennis, I'm going to let you go ahead and have your closing remarks because we're going to shut down in a little bit. But we never get a chance to finish our topics on the Every Woman Talk Show. It's just so much to talk about. But Dennis, what are your closing remarks? What do you have to say to relationships? Did Dennis leave us?
Oh, yes. Now, it's called Drop Again.
Okay, it's called Drop. Mecca, what are your closing remarks?
Well, actually, it was a question for Dennis and how he felt about egalitarian relationships, which is basically an even keel. You know, it's not that thing about, like you were saying, about the man bringing home the bacon and her cooking it, because now the tables, they're not
that's
so
her.
Much a turn, but there's an equal playing field now.
Uh-huh.
You know, the dollar earning of a woman is just as strong as the dollar earning of a man. So who is to say that I need to, as a woman, go and pick up the children and, you know, do the daycare and do the
exactly.
You know,
extracurricular. Society has changed a lot. Exactly.
Right.
We have men who are stay home parents now because
right.
she has, you know, they have set out and decided that, you know, your job pays more money and we can't afford daycare. So guess what? You go make the money, and I'm going to stay home and be the nurturer. And that's okay. And that doesn't make him a lazy man. That makes you guys have a sit-down, an educated decision that works for your family.
Right. That's exactly, exactly.
And you do not need to worry about what somebody else thinks or how somebody else feels. Because guess what? They're not putting the money in your bank, nor are they taking care of your children, and nor is your home being taken care of by what the hell they're talking about. So, and I think the biggest thing for us is society. Society always pictures certain things, and if we don't fit in that circle of what society says, then there's always an issue for how we feel about that. I do not care what anybody says about my relationship. Never did, never will.
But that's a knowledge of self, and I am forever going to be a proponent of that, because if you don't know who you are, like, you really don't have a clue as to where you can go. You don't understand or even know what your capabilities are. So how can you expect to have a reasonably sound relationship that can prosper if you don't know these things about yourself?
And there's some things that you know, I don't know about myself, and that's why I think it's time for me to learn.
But I've
been so caught up in taking care of everybody else, I think I forgot who I was.
No, but that what you just said, that is knowledge of self. Some things that you don't know. You're you know, admitting too that there are some things that you are in further search of.
Right.
That's
right.
Still a part of knowledge of self.
But in that case, and I know that, so I need to share that with my significant other.
Exactly.
If I don't share that with him, if I can't say to him, you know what, I am 50 now, and I don't even know where I am right now. Like, I don't know where I want to go from here. If I keep that inside of me, and he doesn't know that I'm feeling like that, how can he help me achieve it too?
Exactly.
If he doesn't know
exactly
that's what I'm feeling right now.
Exactly.
You know, and it's hard. Sometimes it's very hard to express yourself. But if you're in a relationship with somebody, it should be an unblinded problem. You should never be able to be afraid. You should not be afraid to share.
Yep.
The worst thing that's going on in your life, because they should be sharing that good, that best thing, and that worst thing. They should be sharing both.
Right.
Nazla, did Nazla come off too, Daryl? Nazla's gone as well? I guess Nazla got cut off too.
Yeah.
Okay, Daryl?
Yeah. No, she's not. Yes, she is.
Nazla?
Yes, she got cut off.
She got cut off too?
She got cut off.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, well, we're going to close out. We are going to close out. I want to thank Dennis. Dennis, I know you got cut off. Dennis Porter for calling in. Becca, always, you know I love you.
I love you
thank
too.
You so much. I have my girl Ori on the line. I have my girl Doreen on the line. I have my girl Aziz on the line. All my listeners, I love you guys dearly. Next week, not sure what the topic's going to be yet. I got to sleep on it. It'll go by Monday. Probably up by Saturday, you'll know. Okay. As always, this show can be aired probably today. It's Tuesday, probably by Wednesday, Thursday. You're able to listen to my shows like the very next day or the day after. You can also go on Blog Talk Radio and pull up any of the shows we've done in the past and listen to those shows as well. Once again, you can always hit me up on the Every Woman Talk Show or on my Facebook page if you have a topic that is dear to you that you want to talk about. This is the end of my show. Till next week.
Have a good night. Love you.
I love you.
Besides, relationships are people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Speaking like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist. This segment is brought to you by I Am More, initiative project empowering young black males to be better than negative perceptions and history, empowering them to be stronger than they once was. I am not what I used to be. I am more.
Tune in tomorrow for the Relation Show with Naz and Jackie. On behalf of Shadow World Entertainment, we thank you and good night.
Shadow World Radio.
Ain't nothing wrong with admiration. Don't be ashamed of admiration. It's beautiful. When I was young, I used to always have admiration.